And I've given it the title, A Weekend with Jesus. How was your weekend? People always ask that, don't they? On a Monday morning at school or at work, how was your weekend? I wonder what things we share, what highlights of things we've been up to, and maybe we'll come back to it at the end, and whether we share anything about what we discovered on Sunday at church and things. A weekend with Jesus. I wonder what it was like to spend a weekend with Jesus. Well, in this very short little series of accounts that Hannah read for us, Luke seems to detail exactly that. And we know Luke, he tells us that he talked and interviewed eyewitnesses, and this weekend in Capernaum, maybe Luke talked to those who were there. And maybe Luke visited Capernaum. I don't know for certain. He's the only one who mentions that Jesus went down to Capernaum. And Capernaum was a long way down. So maybe Luke had been there. It really sort of brings that sort of eyewitness level to it. It's no made-up story. Nazareth, maybe you can see it's over here, up in the hills of Galilee, known as the Jezreel Heights. So it's quite a high up area where Nazareth was. And so it was a very steep downhill climb, and about a 20, 30 mile walk, depending on which way you went, to Capernaum, which was by the Sea of Galilee, which was below sea level. So the Sea of Galilee is in quite a deep place. And so it was a long downhill walk to Capernaum. And the village is still there. There's more modern bits like this jetty and these houses over here. But this bit over here is the ruins of old Capernaum, which are still there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And we see here then some of the things that happened that weekend. In verse 31, we read of Jesus going and teaching them in the Sabbath in their synagogue. And then one time in the synagogue, verse 33, there's a man with the unclean spirit. So that happens one day, one Sabbath day, which we call Saturday. Of course, that's what happened. Verse 31 and the bit in 33 especially, the healing of this man with the evil spirit. And then in verse 38, we're told after that, they went from the synagogue and went into Simon Peter's house. After the service, they went to Simon's house. And then in verse 40, we're told when the sun was setting. So that's later on in the day. And that was officially when Sabbath was coming to an end. Once the sun had set, they then judged that to be a new day begun. That's the way they sort of timed things in their day and age. And so that night came, and a new day for them was starting. Verse 42, when it was day, he departed and went to a deserted place. And so that's the next day. That's what we would call Sunday. And for us, we have a weekend. For most of us, a bit of a break from school and work, a bit of a chance to put some things to one side and so on. And we have them perhaps the other way round, that Sunday is our day when we focus on Jesus and worshipping him, and we call it the Lord's Day, don't we? So that came about in the New Testament time, but Jesus is almost operating in the Old Testament still sort of way of their Sabbath and so on. And so we hear of this one Sabbath in particular that Jesus spent with the people in Capernaum. And notice though in verse 31 that this was a regular thing. He went down to Capernaum, the city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. And so Jesus left behind Nazareth, we did that last week, and actually most of the time his base for operation seemed to have been Capernaum, this key village by the Sea of Galilee. And he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And again, we mentioned it last time, that it was Jesus' priority to be there with the people of God who wanted to meet and hear the word of God. And he was teaching them week in, week out on these Sabbaths. And so there he was, and he comes again and speaks to them. We're not told what he teaches about over these weeks that were there, but we are told in verse 32 that he spoke with authority. He spoke with authority, and it comes up again a little bit later. And again, we don't quite notice what he preached about. In Nazareth, to backtrack a few verses, we know that then he read that passage in Isaiah that we looked at last week. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. And that good news, of course, is the same word that Jesus used elsewhere to talk about the gospel, that good news that he'd come to bring. So maybe it was something similar. And we saw in Nazareth him preaching with authority, even if it was authority that was largely rejected. But there in Nazareth, he preached about himself. He preached about how he was fulfilling the scriptures. All those things are being fulfilled today in your hearing, he told the people of Nazareth. And he'd come to bring this good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to bring freedom to the captives and sight for the blind. For it was the acceptable time to come to God and receive his salvation. As Jesus began his preaching work there in Capernaum, mostly, it seems, for a while. And at the end of the chapter, he tells us that he moves on to other places, and he gives us a little summary. Verse 43, I must preach the kingdom of God to these other cities also, because that is the purpose I've been sent. And we noticed last time, actually, that Luke seems to put a particular emphasis on this. He does tell us about lots of miracles. There's two here, for example, and a whole host of others that are just mentioned briefly. But this priority that Jesus had to preach this good news. And Jesus summarizes it as that, preaching the kingdom of God. And again, that's a phrase that comes up a lot in Luke and in other gospels too. What is it in a nutshell? But that the king has come. If Jesus goes preaching the kingdom of God is here, he's saying that's because the king is here, isn't it? The king has come, and the king has come to do something. Again, like that passage he used in Nazareth, he's come with this good news. He's come to bring freedom. He's come to bring healing and sight. And what it means for people to come under the king's rule, for people to come into God's kingdom, means to come and trust in the king, to come in submission to the king and follow him. We'll get more of that in the next chapter. But here Luke sort of gives us a little snippet of where Jesus, all of his teaching is going, preaching the kingdom of God. So Jesus comes teaching. And on this weekend he spent in Capernaum, we see that. What about us? On a weekend, the first weekend in February 2024, here in Ashbourne, we have the opportunity too to spend a weekend with Jesus and to hear Jesus' teaching for us as well. Jesus is there week in, week out. You're here this morning with the people of God under the Word of God, hearing what Jesus would say to us and hearing of his authority, the one who the Spirit of the Lord was upon, the one who is the King who brings in his kingdom. We proclaim Christ and him crucified. We do it, as we said already, at the Lord's table. We do it as we preach God's word. We want people to meet Jesus and to hear the message of the King. And so it's something for us, 2,000 years later maybe, but to come with Jesus and have him teach us. And there were those who came, unlike the people in Nazareth who wanted to get rid of him. The people in Capernaum kept coming back for more. In fact, they might pursue that slightly in the wrong direction. We'll get to that at the end in verse 42. But they wanted Jesus. They wanted more of him, to hear more of his words. And what a privilege for us to spend a weekend with Jesus, to come and hear Jesus teach us from his word and to have ears to hear it. Second thing we see then, in this weekend with Jesus, Jesus' rescue. In the synagogue, there's a man with an unclean spirit, an unclean demon, we're told, in verse 33. A man with an unclean spirit. A demon, an angel that fell, an angel that was led astray by Satan. God made all these angels, he made them perfect. Satan rebelled against God. And other angels went with him and became those fallen angels, we might call them, or demons. And they're intent on serving Satan. And here's a man with a spirit of an unclean demon. Strange to hear he's in the synagogue, though, isn't it? And yet it's good to be there as amongst the people of God, under the word of God, even if you're not yet one of the people of God, and maybe you know it. There was a man with a demon in church, in the synagogue. And there was Jesus. And there was this evil spirit living in him, this man, who had such power. He has power over this man. And so he cries out with a loud voice, saying, verse 33, 34, and Jesus rebuked him, who's the him in that bit, verse 35, be quiet, come out of him. Jesus is talking to the demon, isn't he? Inside that man, who's the one doing the talking. The evil spirit controls this man. And he's the one who's speaking, hence Jesus rebukes the spirit inside him. This evil spirit knows the truth. That's what he says. I know who you are, end of verse 34, the Holy One of God. He knows something about what the future lies to. Leave us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? The demon knows what the end is going to be, that these spirits are going to be judged and destroyed by Jesus. He knows these things. He knows this truth. And he shouts out, screeching maybe, in this loud voice. And Jesus replies to him, come out of him. Be quiet. Verse 35. And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. And everyone's amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. Nothing like this had been seen before. Maybe this man had been there with his evil spirit in the synagogue before. Maybe he was in their town and they all knew about him. Maybe he often shouted impulsively, controlled by the spirit, this evil spirit, and did other things like that. They saw the power the evil spirit had. And now they saw something far greater. That's what they notice, isn't it? With the power and authority that Jesus has. This evil demon has to obey Jesus' command to leave. Jesus said, just says the word. We might all say Jesus doesn't need to put up a fight. The demon cannot resist the word. Come out of him and be quiet. Boom. He's gone. He cannot do anything in the face of Jesus' power. We get an impression perhaps of what the demon might have wanted to do, because as he goes, as the demon leaves, it throws him in the midst. Again, that gives us a little idea that the devil's plan only is to hurt and destroy. But Jesus casts this demon out and he's not hurt. Verse 35, he has to obey. Now, evil spirits seem to be quite common, frequent maybe in the time of Jesus. They're mentioned again in verse 41 that demons came out of many. Sounds a little strange to us to hear of those things. It seems a fairly uncommon thing that happens now, although sometimes still some missionaries in parts of the world do talk about it. And maybe there was a particular effort of Satan to oppose Jesus. That seems likely, doesn't it? As Satan tried to tempt Jesus back in the beginning of chapter 4, and Satan departed until the opportune time, but Satan still wants to put up a fight. So maybe there was a particular mobilization of Satan's host of fallen angels to oppose Jesus. That would make sense, wouldn't it? Perhaps for there to have been many of these things happening at the time of Jesus, but far less, of course, happening once Jesus has died on the cross and risen again. And I would kind of see that those things might fade a bit into the background after that. But anyway, here we see, and the focus of Luke is that Jesus has such power. Satan still is powerful. We might not particularly think often about whether they're evil spirits and demons and so on inhabiting people or situations, but we are clearly told in the New Testament that Satan still blinds the eyes of unbelievers. Satan still causes doubt and unbelief. But Jesus has far greater power. So as we think of a weekend with Jesus, here in Capernaum, they witnessed Jesus' rescue. As Jesus saved this man from this possession of this evil spirit and freed him. And Jesus still does that today. Jesus still drives out Satan. As he said, Satan seeks to cause hurt and destruction. Satan seeks to lead people astray to hell. And Jesus drives them out. Jesus takes people who are under Satan's power, who've been blinded, and just they had their minds closed down and they don't believe. And Jesus says, get out. And Jesus shines his light into people's hearts and minds. Jesus is the one with unquestionable authority. Satan can't do anything about it when Jesus chooses to work. And we see that here in this weekend in Nazareth. And it's often the case, perhaps for some of us who are Christians. Maybe some can even remember the time they were and experienced Jesus' rescue of them. Third thing, we see Jesus' compassion. After the synagogue, verse 38, Jesus goes to Simon's house, which was in Capernaum. We know Peter lived there, or Simon, as he became Peter, later on. And Simon's wife's mother is unwell. You can tell Luke's a doctor. He refers to it as a high fever. The other gospel writers just call it a normal one. But Luke knows he's a bit more, got his finger in the pulse, as it were, and she had a high fever. That might not sound much to us. We have paracetamol for that kind of thing. In a mild infection or something. You know, we could have those things. But in those days, those things were deadly. People died from fevers. And she was very sick. And they request help. Verse 38. And Jesus stood over her. Again, that's a very doctor-like thing to do, isn't it? Patients in the bed. The doctor stands over her, perhaps checking her pulse, perhaps listening to her breathing, perhaps putting his hands on her forehead to estimate her temperature and the like. Here is Jesus, the great physician, who stands by the bed of Simon's mother-in-law. And then he rebukes the fever. It's a funny phrase to use. He rebuked the evil spirit. Perhaps that makes sense because they are animate in a sense. They're angels. They have a voice which we've heard and they can hear and so on. Here Jesus speaks to an inanimate thing, a fever. He rebukes the fever and tells it to go away. It's a little bit more like Jesus' creative work, isn't it? When he says, let there be light, and there is. He says, let there be stars, and there is. Here Jesus says, let that fever go. And it's gone. Again, it's the power and authority of the word of Jesus. And notice as well, she's instantly better. Even now, with all the wonders of modern medicine, when you recover from a fever, you're groggy for days, aren't you? And slow and lethargic. She's immediately better. She jumps up and starts serving them. End of verse 39. Instantly back to full health and begins to serve others straight away. And she wants to serve. She's experienced Jesus' compassion and she starts to share that with others too. As we think of Jesus' compassion that weekend in Capernaum, we can think about it for ourselves as well. And the story carries on, doesn't it, in the next few verses. As the sun was setting, news spread. As the sun begins to set, the Sabbath is nearly over. And those who've almost been waiting for this moment, they've seen what Jesus has done this day, healing this man with the evil spirit. They've heard the rumours, perhaps, of what happened at Simon's house. And once the sun starts to go down, you can start making a journey and not get in trouble with the Pharisees. And so you can start, because once Sabbath has happened, it's a whole new day. And so they can start bringing, carrying those who are unwell to Jesus. Notice how broad it is in verse 40. All those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. Anything. Anyone who had anything wrong with them, they're bringing every one of them to Jesus. Is this at Simon Peter's house? There could be quite a queue down the garden path, couldn't there, at this point, as everyone in the village is coming to him. And then we read, he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. It's just one verse that these eyewitnesses in Capernaum never forgot. The weekend they spent with Jesus. And it's a verse that highlights, doesn't it, the breadth of Jesus' mercy and compassion. That every single one who came to Jesus, he healed. That's amazing, isn't it? Because we can't operate on that level. When people come again and again to our doors, sometimes in the end we grow a bit tired. We grow a bit grumpy. We run out of things to give, don't we? Because we're finite. But Jesus, he never sends anyone away. It could not happen that there was one person in Capernaum who came to the door of Peter's house and said, Jesus, would you help me? And he said, no, not today. It can't happen. Because of Jesus' amazing mercy and compassion, he lays his hand on everyone. He labours as the sun is setting right into the night, that would imply, wouldn't it? Healing every single one who came to him. As we think as well of our situations and this weekend, we see something of Jesus' compassion here for us. It's nice that the service in the synagogue came to an end, but their time with Jesus didn't have to. Sometimes we perhaps have to hurry off after church, but it can be even better, perhaps, to spend a little bit more time together. And they head to Simon's house. And there, Simon, his wife, his mother-in-law, others in the family experience something of that love and compassion. And we too can come to that throne of grace for help in our time of need. And Jesus never sends anyone away. And we see here Jesus' compassion and grace for every single one. And we can do that. We can share in that too. There's two more things, but they're a little briefer, don't worry. We see here as well, this weekend, Jesus' rest. Verse 42, now it was day, the next day, we call it Sunday. He departed and went to a deserted place. Jesus had been busy right into the night, healing all of these people with their different needs. And when there comes an end to that, when there's nobody else waiting, Jesus departs to rest. Mark, who tells us the same story, Mark chapter 1, verse 35, tells us Jesus went to pray. And that's what Jesus does. It's been a busy Sabbath for him. And even Jesus needed time to rest. He gave and he gave of his very self, healing everyone, giving grace and compassion to everyone in need. And he still needed a time to rest himself. And that's a good reminder for us, isn't it? That might be something we look forward to at a weekend. For there is a time to be busy and a time to rest. We're not called to be lazy, nor are we called to be workaholics. No, there is a time to rest as well. We see that in Jesus' life. There needs to be that sensible rhythm which includes rest and sleep and a time to pray as well, which is implied here in Luke, but mentioned in Mark. So there's a time, isn't there, to give, and a time to receive, to be refreshed in the Lord. And that's what Jesus goes away to spend, just time with him and his Father. He goes to a deserted place for a time to be refreshed, for a time to commit himself and the next set of labours to his Father in prayer. And again, that can be a healthy reminder for us in our weekend with Jesus. This weekend, Has there been a bit of time to rest, to receive from God, to commit things to Him in prayer, to take a little break, if possible, from the busyness, and to come to Him? Last thing we see, Jesus' departure. So Jesus went out to a deserted place, verse 42, and the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities, for this is the purpose I've been sent. Verse 44, and he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. Jesus' departure. The people of Capernaum have had such a wonderful weekend with Jesus, they don't want it to end. And that's perfectly understandable, isn't it? They've seen things they've never seen before. Jesus drives out the evil spirits. Everyone in need in the town comes to Jesus. He sends no one away empty. He speaks with authority, the word of God. They see the King there in Capernaum. And they've loved every minute of it. And so they come to Jesus the next morning and they want to keep him. They don't want him to go away to other places. But Jesus says he has to. He has to go to these other places and these other people because I've been sent. And so he goes on, verse 44, to the other synagogues of Galilee, to other towns and villages nearby. Here Jesus has to go. He has to depart and leave them. And there comes a time, sort of turning that round then, to think of ourselves. Well, let's think of Simon's mother-in-law for a moment again. She experienced the compassion of Jesus in healing her from this high fever. And she is keen then to share that compassion with others. So we're told in verse 39, immediately she gets up. For she'd been saved to serve. Rescued by Jesus, but not to keep Jesus all to herself in that sense, but also to share something she's experienced with others, to serve others too in the ways that God had given her. And so as we think of Jesus' departure, Sunday has to come to an end. Sunday's our day. To spend with Jesus, to be here with God's people, under God's word, meeting around God's table, to come and share in those things. But it has to end. We have to depart. We have to go back on a Monday morning with the different tasks that God gives us in the places that he's given to us to serve. We too have been saved to serve. We've experienced the love, the grace of Jesus. Now then, we seek to share it with others. Jesus says, I've been sent. And there's also a sense in which we say that. As we come together as God's people and then disperse to our own homes and our own workplaces, we've been sent. We've been sent in different directions with different things that God has called us to in our workplaces, in our schools, in our own families, in our neighbourhoods, and so on. For the good news of Jesus still needs to spread. That's something we do on a Sunday, isn't it? We pray about the week ahead. We pray for those opportunities for the good news of Jesus as we depart and go in our different directions. As we see here in Capernaum, a weekend with Jesus, maybe it'll be our privilege even this day to spend time with Jesus here together as God's people with him. In this day, of course, Jesus was a human being. He was there in one place and one time, and now he's ascended into heaven. He pours out his Holy Spirit, so it's not like we lose Jesus when we leave this place and go to our homes and go into our workplaces tomorrow and the like. We go with Jesus, with his Holy Spirit in each one of us. And yet there's still a sense. We come together. We come together to hear Jesus' teaching, We come together to experience Jesus' rescue, to come and ask for his compassion, to bring those situations before him. And it's nice when it doesn't have to just end when the service does, but we can share together in refreshments afterwards, and we can share in each other's lives, when we can invite people round to our houses or meet up for a coffee with someone just to share a bit more as we see that in the life of Jesus. To experience that rest that he can give. And then to go and serve him in the places where he's put us. This weekend that he spent in Capernaum was unforgettable. There were the disciples, like Simon, who experienced something of it. And Luke was someone who talked to them years later. And they could remember it like it was yesterday. The weekend Jesus came to Capernaum. And so it's our prayer that our time with Jesus would be truly memorable. As he speaks to our hearts, opens our eyes, and changes us, and equips us to serve him, as he gives us rest, refreshes our hearts, and sends those of us who've been saved to serve him in the days ahead. Let's come and sing together another hymn. Jesus shall reign where'er the sun does his successive journeys run.